it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, September 15th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you're all having a great start to your Monday, but I'm sure you are, because the Eagles pulled out a win on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't win. I picked them to lose, and they won, so an L for me. I dropped to 1-1 on the season picking them, but your Eagles jumped to 2-0. And it's one of those games where, as is the case with most Eagles games besides the Super Bowl, honestly, and the championship game, people are going to have things to say about it. We are certainly going to talk about it this week a lot. The passing offense, why the offense in general hasn't really been clicking, Kevin Petullo. There is a lot to get into it. But on your Monday morning, I'm going to start you guys off with some positivity. So we got a lot of sound in here for you guys. Nick Sirianni talk, Saquon Barkley talk, Jalen Hurts talk, Andrew Mukuba talked. We're going to get into everything they had to say about the big plays in the game. A game that was really won on two really big plays. One, Jalen Hurts to Devontae, and the other one, a huge interception from Andrew Mukuba that really did save the game. Like, they might have won anyway, but man, that play really, really turned the tide. But let's start where we do every day on the Daily Pod with what is on the schedule for today. I'm sure we're going to hear from Nick Sirianni at some point. They move the time around a lot. It's normally around 3 o'clock, so keep an eye out. I'm sure they're going to play it on the WIP afternoon show, so make sure you have the Odyssey app open. You should be listening to WIP all day anyway. There's no better day to listen to WIP than the day after an Eagles game. But Nick will talk later today. I'm sure he'll get asked a lot of questions about the offense and things like that. So excited to see what he has to say. So keep an eye out for Nick at 3 o'clock-ish. And then tonight, the Jordan Mailata Show, me, Jordan Mailata, Spike Eskin from 6 to 7 every single Monday. But it's always fun after a victory to talk to Jordan. So we'll talk to Jordan from 6 to 7. And then the Players Lounge, Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, me, and Cam Jurgens. So an offensive line filled show tonight at Chickies and Pete's. Make sure you listen from 6 to 8 on the Odyssey app. But if not, I'll have them in the feed for you guys to check out. So going to be a fun day talking about that Eagles win. All right, let's get to the injury report. So the big, I don't want to say injury because I'm not sure if he's definitely hurt, but the big kind of scary moment in the game was Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith goes up for a ball. It was down the sideline. He falls on his back. He grabs his back. Now, Devontae dealt with a back injury during training camp as well as last year. So whenever it's something that has to do with his back, it's always worth keeping an eye out for it. So after the game, some reporters said they saw him kind of limping around. I'm sure he's very sore. We'll find out more as the week goes on. Wouldn't completely shock me if he was on the injury report on Wednesday, but we'll see if he's able to play on Sunday against the Rams. My initial read on it is that he will be playing. He finished the game. He obviously made a big-time catch So I think he'll be out there, but Devontae is one to keep an eye on. And then Jordan Davis left the game a few times. It seemed like he was maybe cramping up. I saw him in the locker room. He seemed in good spirits. So my guess is he is okay, but those are the two injuries to keep an eye on, Devontae Smith and Jordan Davis, as the week goes on. And then, of course, if anything else pops up. So that's the injury report. Let's get into talking about that win. And okay, so actually, this is a bit of a funny story. I like to do like post-game videos where I walk and talk about something. And I swear to you guys, I tried like three or four times after the game and I ran out of breath each time. Like, I work out all the time. I couldn't do it. So I felt out of shape doing it. But the message I was trying to send was this. I started the pod with it, with James, but I wanted to kind of share what Nick and Saquon had to say about it in the way that it seems like they agree with me. So I understand during the game, there was a lot of criticism of the coaching staff. Kevin Petullo, the vanilla offense, it's the next Brian Johnson, the passing game. And we're going to get into that. But I also think they look to me like a well-coached team for the most part on Sunday. There were some bad penalties and the offense didn't click. But I thought that was a team that showed extreme mental toughness. And in a game against a Chiefs team that has won Super Bowls, that's played in big games, and that desperately needed it, they made fewer mistakes than the Chiefs did. And that is part of a well-coached team. It does not mean that they were perfectly coached. It does not mean they can't play better. Nick Sirianni said after the game, you know, we weren't going to pick up and play like we did in the Super Bowl. Like, it takes time to get to that point. But I still think they were a well-coached team. It doesn't mean they can't get better. But I think, like, the extreme criticism of the coaching staff is probably a little too far. I thought Vic Fangio was really good. Kevin Petullo, it's kind of always hard to tell. Like, he basically is just always going to get graded as good as the offense is because Jalen calls plays, Nick calls plays, Jalen makes adjustments. It's not always completely clear, you know, what his responsibility is. But I thought as a whole, they looked like a well-coached team. So Nick afterwards talked about the mental toughness that the team showed to go into Arrowhead and win that game. So here is what Nick had to say.
Nick, what is it about this team to find different ways to win week in, week out? It seems like every week you guys do it in a different way.
Resiliency, playing for each other, together, not wanting to let each other down, the process that they go through, just all the things, that the mental toughness that we have. It's just a bunch of good guys, good coaches, good players, our job, especially, you know, early in the season is – and what I've said constantly to the team is find a way to win, take pride in winning any way that you possibly can, work to get better throughout the week, repeat, repeat, repeat. So, you know, we got to keep getting better. I think there's no, you know, I've said this before, like, all right, I don't know if I said this to you guys, but I think that when you come off a season like we came off last year, I think the expectation is that you're going to pick up right where you left off. There's steps to this, right? There's steps for all the teams that are playing right now, and there's steps to get better. So as you're getting better, our goal is to play our best football by the end of the year. As you're getting better, find ways to win, get better, and then repeat.
I agree. Like, I think in seasons, there are moments that help shape the roster. I thought last year, the Nick Sirianni moment against the Browns, like, I think in a weird way brought the team together. I think winning the following week against the Giants and coming out a little slow, but then pulling off that win kind of shaped who they are. You know, I just think there's moments that help a team figure out, like, and bond together. And I thought this was one of those moments. Like, I was at Arrowhead. It was a tough environment. And I think that this is a moment that come week 6, 7, 8, 9, they can lean on as something like, hey, we went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs together. If they're losing a game later in the season, if they find themselves in controversy, they can lean on this as something that they went through. So I do think the mental toughness they showed on Sunday is a real, like, tangible positive. I know some people say, oh, you're just saying that, like, blah, blah. No, like, I truly believe it. I think getting through that battle together made them a better team than they were before they entered that stadium. And one thing is just that's just the truth is they're going to get teams' best shots every week. So while I truly do believe the Chiefs needed it more than them, and I think the Chiefs gave it everything they could, they're also, like, next week the Rams are going to have revenge on the mind against the Eagles. And then the Buccaneers will want to beat. Like, that's just what it's going to be. And Saquon Barkley talked about that. I asked him what he thought the team showed in the win. And in here you can hear him say, like, yeah, we're going to get everybody's best shot, but he feels like they're dealing with it well. So here's Saquon after the win.
grit. We're going to continue to play with each other, continue to play for each other, and do whatever it takes to win football games. And I think we showed that the week prior. I think we showed it this week, and we're going to have to continue to show that. You know, that's the beauty of having a team that we have that's so successful and being the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to get everyone's best. And everyone's going to try to do stuff to take away players, to take away this and that and the third. But just my favorite part about the team is we have guys that just want to win football games. It's showing.
You know, he says in there, I like being on this team because it's filled with guys that just want to win. And I think that's there's like a cliche-ness to that. It's not like the players on the Giants didn't want to win. I mean, I wasn't there. The Giants mostly suck, so it's certainly possible they had selfish players on the team, but kind of ironic to be a selfish player on a team where nobody puts up stats. But I do think there's truth to it. Like, you listen to Jalen after the game, Saquon. Like, I do think this team is used to getting the best shots, and I think that while they want to put up their stats. AJ wants to put up his stats. Devontae wants to put up his stats. Saquon put up 2,000 yards. Like, he has said he wants to do it again. They do enjoy winning. Like, I'm in that locker room afterwards. Like, they are mostly all in a good mood after a win. And I think when you take a team's best shot and you win, there is like a swagger you gain about that. Like, the mental toughness, the swagger. Like, I think the Eagles, the 2025 team, like, could keep the 2024 vibes rolling to an extent when you win a game like that. So I was walking out of this. I was walking in the stadium, I guess I should say. Actually, let me play the sound clip first. So Nick Sirianni was asked about the defensive game plan for the game, and I thought his answer in here really kind of showed who he is as a head coach. There was a little like hint in there of that. So here's Nick Sirianni talking about the defense, which had an awesome game, like A-plus game, forced a turnover, which we'll talk about in a second, kept the Chiefs out of the end zone. Like, it was an awesome game from the defense. That last play, not so great. But for the most part, an awesome game for the defense. Here's Nick Sirianni talking about the defensive game plan.
Last one. What did you think about the game plan on defense? Obviously, Zeke didn't blitz at all in the Super Bowl. And young defense these first few games, but it seemed a lot more aggressive with blitzing the trust factor.
Yeah, every game's not played the same way, right? You know, the Chiefs played it a little bit different. We played it a little bit different, both sides of the football, right? Because you know you're going to go in and say, hey, we didn't blitz at all. You know, we might have to a little bit today. And Vic just continues to show what an experienced defensive coordinator he is and what a phenomenal defensive coordinator that he is. And so every game plan is a little bit different, regardless if you're playing the same team that you played two games ago or not. Vic did a really good job against, their quarterback now, I'm not saying anything. Everybody in the NFL doesn't already know. He's a really freaking good football player. And Kelsey, man, still really good, really, really good football player that, you know, he goes to in critical moments. They got a good offensive line. That was a tough matchup. And, you know, really proud of our defense to find a way to turn the ball over. Really proud of our defense to find ways to keep the ball in front of them for the most part, be on the same page for the most part. We got to clean some of those things up. But we tackled well, I think. I thought we took the ball away when we needed to. You always want more, obviously. I thought we beat blocks well. You know, Coop had a block. They threw a little bubble pass out there, which they do a lot of, and Coop beats the block on a really good blocker with Smith-Schuster. He beats it and makes the play right after he made a really big tackle. So, you know, it's good when you see your habits of what you talk about consistently and that you do at practice consistently show up in a big-time game, because at the end of the day, I think we're going to get enthralled by all the design of this play or that play and this defense or that defense. This game comes down – this game's simple sometimes, right? It comes down to who tackled better. It comes down to – and that's a good tackling team too. They do such a good job on their fundamentals. It's very obvious on their tape. It's very obvious on, you know, that when they have angle tackles on Saquon that they're able to, you know, at times – most of the time get them down, because they work on it too. But it's going to come down to tackling. It's going to come down to block destruction. It's going to come down to blocking. It's going to come down to who catches the ball better. It's going to come down to, you know, who takes care of the football better. And who-
So – as I was walking out of the press box, the Chiefs, like in the, you know, the hallways, have different quotes from coaches. And one was from Hank Stram, the head coach, 1960 to 1974 for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the quote, I thought, really sums up Nick's teams, but also was kind of in that answer. Quote, There are few secrets in football, so execute, end quote. And that's what you can hear when Nick talks. Like, for all of the people that are mad that offense looks vanilla and it's not creative and the game, like, all fair criticisms. I just don't think Nick cares that much about having a super, like, intricate, detailed offense. I think he believes if they do the meat and potatoes correctly, they'll win. Like, there's no secret offense that's going to get this team to score 40 points a game. He believes they will score by executing. Now, you still have to have good game plan. You still have to have plays that get guys open. Like, I'm not completely dismissing the X and O's, but from being around Nick Sirianni since he's been here, all the complaining about the offense looking vanilla, it looks vanilla every single week. The difference is some week the players play good and some weeks the players do not. In 2023, Brian Johnson wasn't doing anything much different than they were doing in 2024. The difference is the quarterback was better. The difference is the players played better. The difference is they had Saquon. Jalen didn't turn the ball over in 2024 like he did in 2023. So for all the energy people spend every Sunday being like, Petullo, 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 it's Jalen Hurts and the players executing. That's what it is. That is the offense. You see in other teams when you have to use smoke and mirrors to move the ball, it eventually runs out. Ask the Miami Dolphins. Like, you eventually run out of trick plays and pre-snap motion to get your guys open. It's about executing. And that is what Nick believes in. And he talks about it there. It's about tackling, right? Like, it's not about having an intricate blitz plan. Of course, that helped. And they blitzed well on Sunday. And Fangio blitzed more than normal. But they tackled well. And, like, when guys were close to first downs, they brought him down. Makuba with a huge tackle on third down to force a fourth down. Cooper DeJean, same thing. Open field tackle on Kareem Hunt to bring him down. Like, those are the things that Nick believes wins football games. And as you can see, Nick wins a lot of football games. So, look, when they were hiring Nick, I was not, like, a leader of men fundamental guy. He's changed my mind. And I do believe that he is correct when he talks about that. But in order to do that, you have to have players that make big plays, and you have to have great players. And we don't know yet if Makuba is a great player, but he certainly made a great play on Sunday when he came away with the interception at the goal line. Travis Kelce bobbles the ball. If he catches it cleanly, he's probably in for a touchdown, and I think the game changes. There was a stat that said that if he catches it and scores, the Chiefs have a 54% chance to win. He drops it, it's intercepted, and as a result, it goes down to 23%. And then, of course, Devontae scores, and it's over. But the big play by Andrew Makuba, I mean, it was awesome to see. So here's Makuba talking about that play and what he saw.
I mean, in the red zone, we knew they were going to try to get the ball to 87. So, you know, that was kind of the main focus, you know, try to take him out. But I seen he had broke in. The ball kind of came early. It was unexpected to him. So he kind of bubbled it a little bit. The ball was in the air. And I just happened to be right there. And I do good whenever I'm around the ball. So I just happened to be right there. Got the ball. Tried to go score. Got caught by some O-lineman. Wish it had never happened. But, yeah.
When you're... One thing I will say about Makuba is the dude makes plays and he's around the football. We saw him do it in the preseason game. Now we saw him do it here. He did it in Texas with 6 interceptions. The guy knows how to come away with the football when he has a chance. And it's something Nick Sirianni says he's noticed about him since he got here. Here's Nick Sirianni talking about Andrew Makuba.
It seems like Drew Makuba has an eye for just being around the football. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think I said that to you guys very early on. He's got a knack to find the football. You can see it on his college tape. Some guys have that. I think we have that at a lot of our levels of our defense. I think Jalen Carter has that. I think Zach Bond has that. I think Cooper DeJean has that. Reed Blankenship showed to have that, and he has that. And kind of similar to last week, you know, we sat there at halftime. You know, there's nothing sexy about, you know, the offense protecting the football, right? But they've done so 2 weeks in a row. And I know, you know, Jalen had that early one that we were in the right spot to get the ball back. But then there's that level of the defense. We talked about it in there that it's going to come down to, you know, who takes the ball away, who protects the ball and who takes the ball away. And we had a big one. And Drew was that when you see interceptions in the NFL, the quarterback's not throwing the ball to that guy, obviously, right? And so it's very rare that you get just this clean pick. They happen, but, you know, a lot of them happen off those, you know, those types of plays right there. You know, with a, you know, with a bounce of the ball and then being in the right spot. It first starts with everyone being on the same page and being in the right spot. Then it's being able to take advantage when you get your hands on the football. And he has the ability to do that. He showed that in the preseason. He showed that in, you know, all through the, you know, all through training camp. He showed that at Clemson. He showed that at, Texas, and he's got an ability to do that. It's great quality to have.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. They have guys that make plays on the football, but for Makuba to do it so early in his career is really, really encouraging, and the confidence to get up there and make the play. And then, to run as far as he did on a day where the offense was really struggling, for Makuba to go as far as he did with the ball was huge. Like, if he goes down at the one or the two, the offense has 98 yards to go. They're probably punting out of their own end zone with how the offense was working. So to go that far was really big. And Makuba, like, I know Sidney Brown, they're kind of splitting snaps to a certain extent on defense. Makuba's playing more, but Sidney has a package where he's in there. I don't know how much longer you can keep Makuba off the field. Like, he's going to have to start being out on the field every single play, and I think that could start next week against the Browns. Now, the Rams. Now, that doesn't mean he won't make mistakes, but he saved the game for them today. Like, flat out. If he's not there to make a play on the ball...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They probably lose that game. If Kelsey catches it, they probably lose. But he did make the play, and they did win the game. And that's really what this comes down to. Like, for as much as we want to criticize the play calling and everything, and it's fair. Like, I agree. We'll talk about it throughout the week. I will be critical of it. Their ability to continually not lose games because they don't make critical mistakes and they make big plays, it's not 3 weeks of masking something at this point. It's like 5 years of showing they can do it. And that's what you saw on Sunday. Like, this team, this 2025 team, is showing some of the same things that are Nick Sirianni teams. They're fundamentally strong, they make big plays, and they're mentally tough. Like, that's what Nick's teams are. And we saw that on Sunday. The 2025 team is starting to become that type of team. So, on the other side, we're going to talk about one of the biggest plays of the game, which is Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith down the sideline to set up the game-winning touchdown. So we'll talk about that on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Eagles beat the Chiefs 20-17. Not the most visually pleasing game, certainly from an offense perspective, but they did make enough plays to win the game. Now I'm going to play this moment first because it got caught up on a hot mic. It's Chris Jones yelling something at Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts responding. And it kind of summed up what Jalen said post-game in general about the win. So here's Chris Jones and Jalen Hurts after the game.
2-0 start to the season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2.
Say what you will about Jalen. That dude is legit, like, only cares about winning. Does he want to throw for more yards? Of course. Does he want to be ranked as a top quarterback? Of course. But you don't fake 4 years, 5 years of press conferences talking about only winning and then do that when you don't think you're being mic'd up. Like, that is truly what the guy cares about. And on Sunday, he made a big play to help win the game. After the Makuba play, easily the second most important play of the game. Of course, I'm talking about the big play down the sideline to Devontae. Great play by Devontae. Great throw by Jalen. Nick Sirianni was asked about that play after the game, and here's what Nick had to say.
The big pass from Jalen to Devontae at the end of the game. What was your angle of it? What do you think of the play? But also, what's it say about Jalen and Devontae? They can make that play in that spot after the offense passing like probably wasn't super critical.
Yeah. Again, you see those in practice, and that's, and you see them in the past of our games played, and it gives you confidence to be able to do that. You know, I think Jalen Hurts is one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL. I think he's shown that. I don't think people talk about that enough. You know, go back to last year and all those fourth downs that went vertical, whether that was in the Browns game in a 4 minute or whether that was in a Giants game on a fourth down or the Super Bowl on a fourth down that ended up coming back. Like, there's all this nitpicking on Jalen, but no one talks about all the, you know, that. Like, he's unbelievable at throwing the deep ball, which ends up helping us set up other things underneath. And so it's just great connection, communication, you know, just that one that they have together, you know, the receivers and Jalen. And that was a huge play in that game, and they brought some pressure. Jalen was able to stand in there, make a great play, and Devontae made a play on the football. You know, no secret, Devontae Smith's a heck of a player. So Jalen Hurts is a heck of a player. And, again, you get pumped up when you execute in a big moment. That was a big time. That was a big, big play in that game that helped us seal that game.
First, you got to love to him pivoting to complimenting Jalen. Jalen will hear that. Jalen will appreciate it. I think it's a smart move by Nick, but he's right. Like, that play was a hard play from Jalen. He has pressure coming right at him. The pocket isn't clean. He has to stand in the pocket to make the throw, and he delivers a soft, catchable football down the field to Devontae. Now, Devontae goes up and gets it, right? Like, Devontae makes the play, but he allows Devontae the chance to go make the play by delivering a good football. So after the game, Jalen was asked about it, and he let kind of slip that he made a pre-snap adjustment to Devontae to get to that play. So here's Jalen talking about that.
Jalen, you mentioned you made an adjustment on the big play to Devontae. Can you kind of take us through maybe pre-snap what you saw and the details of the play that led you to make the adjustment and get the big play?
Well, just letting it come to you. Letting it come to you. That was a moment where we discussed it, and it presented itself again, and we took advantage of the opportunity. I think that's a big-time play. Right, they were matching out coverage and very tight in coverage when they brought pressure, and that's a problem, you know. But you see a lot of contested catches. We made some. We didn't connect on some. But I'm just happy that we connected when it mattered the most. So I got a lot of respect for Spags and their defense. They play as a complete unit. They play together. They fly to the ball, and they're disruptive on the quarterback. And so we know the challenge of playing those guys.
If you remember, in 2023, Jalen also made an adjustment to a play to Devontae in Kansas City, same part of the field, for a big play to help seal the win. So very similar moments. And one thing that I think doesn't get enough credit in Jalen's game is his pre-snap adjustments, his ability to go out, see what he's looking at, and get the offense in the right set. I asked him about that, and here's what he had to say.
What are you finding about the way defenses have been playing you so far in these two games? It seems like yards are kind of hard to come by and everything. Like, are they doing anything differently than maybe what you guys saw in the past?
There's some different nuances there, I think, that defenses show to try and present different structures in what they do. Ultimately, it's just about us going out there and playing our game. And
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just continue to find out what our identity is. You know, I'd be lying to you if I said that we were established and we know exactly who we are, you know, but who knows who they are in week two? Who knows who they are in week one? Who knows who they are in that first quarter of the season? And so it's just about staying diligent, staying together, and finding ways to win. You know, we can go back to the film room and assess these things, but when you have a level of mental toughness to yourself and you're able to stay focused and remain disciplined, and play a good fundamental football to a sense, you know, you find ways to win.
So if you listen to this pod for a long time, you know the one thing I really care about when it comes to quarterbacks is turnovers. And really, since before Jalen, I've always been a quarterback win-loss guy. It's always why I was critical of Carson towards the end. It's why I didn't believe in the Eagles teams that would win one, lose one, win two, lose one. Like, there was never any consistency. And I think when it comes to Jalen, you saw on Sunday why he wins so many games. Didn't turn the ball over, didn't make the big mistake, didn't miss like wide open throws. Mahomes missed wide open throws, right? Mahomes turned it over. Now, not completely his fault, but he still turned it over. And when it comes to like just the quarterbacking of the team, I think Jalen does a lot of things that don't show up on the stat sheet. The passing offense isn't pretty and the passing numbers aren't pretty. But pre-snap, Jalen is doing a good job with this team, I think. And taking care of the ball, like, he's doing a good job with that. So I thought Jalen, again, like, the passing offense is not good. I've probably said it 80 times in this pod. I don't want you to think I'm completely moving past a passing offense not being good. But in a game where people felt so down about the Eagles, they were better than the Chiefs. And part of the reason is Jalen didn't make mistakes that Patrick Mahomes did. So I think you should still feel good about Jalen and where he's at. But the passing offense does need to improve. All right, the final thing I have for you guys is Nick Sirianni was asked about the decision to not sit Jalen Carter for this game. Jalen Carter started the game. He played what seemed like a full allotment of snaps. I should have mentioned for the injury report, Jalen Carter was also holding his arm or his forearm at certain points, so that's something to monitor. But Nick was asked about it, and here's what Nick had to say about why he didn't, sit Jalen Carter.
Yeah, I believe in Jalen Carter. I've gotten to know Jalen so much these past 3 years, and I believe in him. And you know, we all, no matter how much money somebody makes, how much fame anybody has, everybody needs to know they're loved and appreciated. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have discipline or anything like that. You know, again, like I said, everything is kept in house right there. And sometimes it's, you know, there's not a handbook on any of those things. I know this. Everybody, Larry Karras told me this right when I, you know, started coaching. Everyone needs to know they're loved and appreciated. And you got to try to find ways to get better. You got to make sure everyone's disciplined on the football team. I believe in him, and I believe in, you know, I know he's got a great heart, and I know that he'll learn from his mistakes and continue to get better. I believe in him so much. You know, he's an important part of this football team, and yeah, it makes me feel good that he recognized that. And
so we talked about this all week. What should he do? What's the right thing to do? Should he bench him? Should he not? And I was very, very firm. I would have benched him. I would have sat him. That's what I would have done, right? Nick's answer swayed me a little bit. You know me. Like, I'm an attaboy guy. I'm an emotional guy. I enjoy positive reinforcement. That's who I am. And when you hear Nick talk about that, I do think for a relationship between Nick and Jalen, that Carter, that is hopefully going to be one that's around for a long time. Jalen, a great player. Nick, a great coach. This could be a moment where Nick having his back is a pivotal moment in their relationship. Maybe, hopefully, Jalen Carter learns his lesson and he doesn't make the same mistake. And Nick didn't misread that by like attaboying him and propping him up as opposed to benching him and embarrassing him, he can get through to Jalen Carter. And we'll see if that works. But if it does, having his back could be a pivotal moment. So I probably still would have benched him, but I think Nick's rationale was very good as to why he did not. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Everybody go out, enjoy your Monday. We got so much stuff coming over the next few days. The Mylotta Show, the Cam Jurgens with Ike and Hugh, like more daily pods, more talking about the game. I'm excited. They're home next week against the Rams. It's going to be a fun week. So go out, enjoy your day. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly, but you know, what why it's not outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.